10 from the book of Enoch. Verse 1, there it is on page 13. Then said the Most High, the Holy and Great One spake, and sent Uriel to the son of Lamech, and said to him, Go to Noah, and tell him in my name, Hide thyself, and reveal to him the end that is approaching, that the whole earth will be destroyed, and a deluge is about to come upon the whole earth, and will destroy all that is on it. And now instruct him, that he may escape, and his seed may be preserved for all generations of the world. And again the Lord said to Raphael, Bind Azazel. Now keep this fell in mind. I want to talk to you about him in a minute. Hand and foot, and cast him into the darkness, and make an opening in the desert, which is in Dudael, and cast him therein, and place upon him rough and jagged rocks, cover him with darkness, and let him abide there forever, and cover his face that he may not see light. And on the day of the great judgment, he shall be cast into the fire, and heal the earth which the angels have corrupted, and proclaim the healing of the earth, that they may heal the plague, and that all the children of men may not perish through all the secret things that the watchers have disclosed and have taught their sons. And the whole earth has been corrupted through the works that were taught by Azazel. To him ascribe all sin. Now, keep that in mind. That's important. Keep that in mind now. You watch. I'll show you something fascinating. And to Gabriel, now Gabriel is a heavenly archangel. He's mentioned, of course, in Scripture. He's an obedient commander. And to Gabriel said the Lord, Proceed against the bastards and reprobates and against the children of fornication. Destroy the children of fornication and the children of the watchers from amongst men. And cause them to go forth, and send them one against the other, that they may destroy each other in battle, for length of days shall they not have. And no request that they, that is their fathers, make of thee shall be granted unto their fathers on their behalf. For they hope to live an eternal life, and that each one of them will live 500 years. And the Lord said unto Michael, here's another archangel, Go bind Semjatha and his associates who have united themselves with women, so as to have defiled themselves with them in all their uncleanness. And when their sons have slain one another, and they have seen the destruction of their beloved one, bind them fast for 70 generations in the valleys of the earth till the day of judgment and of their consummation, till the judgment that is forever and ever is consummated. In those days they shall be led off to the abyss of fire, and to the torment and the prison in which they shall be confined forever. And whosoever shall be condemned and destroyed will from thenceforth be bound together with them to the end of all generations, and destroy all the spirits of the reprobate and the children of the watchers, because they have wronged mankind. Destroy all wrong from the face of the earth, and let every evil work come to an end, and let the plant of righteousness and truth appear, and it shall prove a blessing. The works of righteousness and truth shall be planted in truth and joy forevermore. And then shall all the righteous escape, and shall live till they beget thousands of children, and all the days of their youth and their old age they shall complete in peace. And then shall the whole earth be tilled in righteousness, and shall all be planted with trees, and be full of blessings, and all desirable trees shall be planted on it. They shall plant vines on it, and the vine which they plant thereon shall yield wine in abundance. And as for all the seed which is sown up thereon, each measure of it shall bear 1,000, and each measure of olives shall yield 10 presses of oil. And cleanse thou the earth from all oppression, and from all unrighteousness, and from all sin, from all godlessness, and all the uncleanness that is wrought upon the earth destroy from the earth. And all the children of men shall become righteous, and all nations shall offer adoration and shall praise me, and all shall worship me. Can't you see the millennium? This is the millennium here. He's talking about the millennium way in after, go back to verse 16, the plant of righteousness and truth appear. Who's the plant of righteousness and truth? The Messiah, Jesus Christ. Sure. So then we're getting to the millennium, and that's what we're waiting for right now, the change to the millennium. And the earth shall be cleansed from all defilement, from all sin, from all punishment, from all torment, and I will never again send them upon it from generation to generation and forever. And in those days I will open the store chambers of blessing which are in heaven, so as to send them down upon the earth over the work and labor of the children of men. And truth and peace shall be associated together throughout all the days of the world, throughout all the generations of men. So you see, we're coming into a time, and notice the increased productivity of the land. See, it's going to be enormously changed. And you can see that this is possible with modern fertilizers and all. You see what we can do with one plant versus what used to be done, an increase of production. Now, when God changes all this, just think of what we'll have in the millennium. Now, continuing on page 14. Now, here's another passage, chapter 12, verse 1. What I'm trying to show you, along with other things, and I told you I maybe bore you a little bit, is give you so many of them, because you're going to meet people say, well, yes, there's a little note in the book of Enoch about fallen angels, and that's all they think exists. I'm trying to show you that not only one, but many dozens of passages exist, and I haven't exhausted the sources by any manner of means. I've just given you some real striking ones. Here we go to this one. Before these things, Enoch was hidden, and no one of the children of men knew where he was hidden and where he abode and what had become of him. Remember, our New Testament says Enoch was not, for God took him, and they didn't know where he went. See? That bears out exactly what the New Testament tells you. And his activities had to do with the watchers, and his days were with the Holy One. And I, Enoch, was blessing the Lord of Majesty and the King of Ages, and lo, the watchers called me, Enoch the scribe, and said to me, Enoch, thou scribe of righteousness, go declare to the watchers of the heavens, who hath left the high heaven, the holy eternal place, and have defiled themselves with women, and have done as the children of earth do, and have taken unto themselves wives. Ye have wrought great destruction on the earth. Ye shall have no peace nor forgiveness of sin. And inasmuch as they delight themselves in their children, the murder of their beloved ones shall they see, and over the destruction of their children shall they lament, and shall make supplication unto eternity, but mercy and peace shall ye not attain. Now this is promised destruction, no forgiveness for their having committed this sin and deserted the armies of the heavens. All right, now, here's a note in the following section, the origin of demons or evil spirits. Now, here's the best I can give you on this, I think. And he answered and said to me, and I heard his voice, Fear not, Enoch, thou righteous man and scribe of righteousness. Approach hither and hear my voice, and go say to the watchers of heaven who have sent thee to intercede for them, You should intercede for men, not men for you. Wherefore, see, these watchers wanted Enoch to intercede for them. Wherefore have ye left the high and holy eternal heaven, and lain with women, and defiled yourselves with the daughters of men, and taken to yourselves wives, and done all the children of earth, and done like the children of earth, and begotten giants as your sons. And though ye were holy, spiritual, living the eternal life, you have defiled yourselves with the blood of women, and have begotten children with the blood of flesh. And as the children of men have lusted after flesh and blood, as those also do who die and perish. Therefore have I given them wives also, that they might impregnate them and beget children by them, that thus nothing might be wanting to them on earth. But you were formerly spiritual, living the eternal life, the fallen angels, and immortal for all generations of the world. And therefore I have not appointed wives for you, for as for the spiritual ones of the heaven, in heaven is their dwelling. And now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling. You see, it's the produced children that are the evil spirits. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies because they are born from men, and from the holy watchers is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits shall they be called. As for the spirits of heaven, in heaven shall be their dwelling. But as for the spirits of the earth which were born upon the earth, on the earth shall be their dwelling. And the spirits of the giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth and cause trouble. Now those are the demons, you see, that were cast out. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst and cause offenses. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against the women, because they have proceeded from them. From the days, this you see accounts, according to this explanation, this accounts why the demons want to keep on occupying a human body. They have come from a body, the result of cohabitation of angels, so a partly human body. And they want to come back and inhabit a human body, and they keep possessing people. From the days of the slaughter and destruction and death of the giants, from the souls of those of whose flesh the spirit, having gone forth, shall destroy without incurring judgment. Thus shall they destroy until the day of consummation, the great judgment in which the age shall be consummated, over the watchers and the godless, yea, shall be wholly consummated. And now as to the watchers who have sent thee to intercede for them, who had been aforetime in heaven. See, the watchers were the ones in heaven. It's their offspring, the giants, the mighty men, the heroes, whose spirits, disembodied spirits, once their bodies were destroyed, were loosed as demons. They were not given a place in the eternal heavens, and they weren't bound, they weren't anything. They were free-moving spirits. Say to them, you have been in heaven, but all the mysteries had not yet been revealed to you, and you knew worthless ones, and these in the hardness of your heart you have made known to the women, and through these mysteries women and men work much evil on earth. Say to them, therefore, you have no peace. All right? Note also, they can appear as men when they want to. This is interesting. Now, here we come to another, chapter 17. And they took and brought me to a place in which those who were there were like flaming fire, and when they wished, they appeared as men. Do you remember the angels that came to Sodom? See, they could do that. And they were obedient angels, but they could appear as men. Now, the next one is in chapter 19. And Uriel said to me, here shall stand the angels who have connected themselves with women, and their spirits, assuming many different forms, are defiling mankind, and shall lead them astray into sacrificing to demons as God. These dispossessed spirits were to lead the people astray to worshiping demons, and this started the whole field of mythology. Now, I've given you a very important verse underneath. This is a quote from the Septuagint, and this is in the Greek Old Testament. Psalm 95:5 says, and I've given you the Greek, so you'll have it there in front of you as you're learning, that all the gods of the nations are demons. All the idol system is nothing more than demons that have given their names to their gods. You see the point? That's how the system has been built up. That's how Satan's system is working. You wait. When we get this all together, you'll see how the whole thing, it ties up very interestingly. Now come to page 15. Note the angel called Azazel, referred to in the book of Enoch, chapter 8:1. And Azazel taught men to make swords and knives and so forth. Also in chapter 9:6, thou seest what Azazel hath done. Also in chapter 10:4, bind Azazel hand and foot. And verse 9, to him ascribe all sin. Now, the Holy Spirit, through Jude, makes reference to the record of Enoch. Note in verse 14, the Lord came, not is coming. This past judgment is a pattern for the future. Now, I put this in here because this is very important. The book of Jude, by the Holy Spirit, refers to the book of Enoch, which I have been reading from, and therefore gives it credence. You see what I'm saying? Gives it authority. Here's the passage in Jude, verse 14. And to these also Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came. They're trying to read that as though he is coming. It is not his coming. It is came. He came with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their works of ungodliness which they have ungodly wrought, and of all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And I think it basically refers to the past judgment that God meted out upon these fallen angels and their offspring and the whole corrupt assembly. Now, Azazel occurs four times in the Bible. Always in King James, translated scapegoat. So Azazel in this is thus nicely hidden. But notice the passage in the American Standard Version, 1901. They brought him out of hiding. The word scapegoat is a translation of Azazel. He is the one responsible for all sin. Now you watch the passage when it gets straightened out better in the American Standard, Leviticus 16. Now, for those of you who do not know what the scapegoat is, let me digress. It may be well, even though I don't get this passage read even right now. But in the tabernacle, and that, of course, is our whole purpose of the building, get the big model up so we can see these things, because these were taught in picture form. They knew a lot of this that we don't know. We'll have it here, the Lord willing, maybe when school starts. Who knows? And we'll get these things ready. Now, on the Day of Atonement, they had two goats that made one sacrifice. And these two goats depict the sin offering situation. Now, they brought these two goats, which were as near exactly alike as was physically possible to get them. Two male goats, a year old. And they would bring these two goats before the high priest. Now, the high priest, then, would cast lots on these goats, like you would, you know, with dice. He cast lots on them to decide which was which. He decided by lot that one was the Lord's goat, and he would put a thong of leather around the horns of the Lord's goat. Then he would take and he would put a thong of leather around the neck, red leather, around the neck of the scapegoat. That's the goat for Azazel. Now, he would take and kill the Lord's goat. Then he would take the blood from the goat, and he would go in behind the veil to the Holy of Holies, and he would put the blood on the mercy seat. Now, the blood of a sheep lamb never went on the mercy seat at any time. It was only the blood of a goat, because the goat was the only animal that is born to show the weight of sin. And this animal is created by God so that if you put your weight on a goat, the goat will push back like this. If you put your hands on the head of the goat and press the goat, unless it is not used to you at all, of course, there are exceptions. But if a goat is a tame animal, and they were, of course, where you take care of them, and you put your hands on the goat and you press on the goat's head, the goat will press back at the same pressure you press down. Now, how can that be used? Very easily. After he had offered the blood of the slain goat on the mercy seat, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as our sin bearer, our substitute, our willing substitute, and he bore our sin away. Now he comes to this scapegoat, the goat for Azazel, and he puts his hands on its head, and he confesses all their sins, and he leans heavier on the goat. All their transgressions, and he leans still heavier on the goat. All their iniquities, and by this time the high priest is on his tiptoes, and the goat is holding him up. And that way he could dramatize the weight of sin that was going to be carried away. And that goat would carry the sin away into the wilderness. Now watch as you read Leviticus 16. And Aaron shall present the bullock of the sin offering. That's what started on the Day of Atonement. We'll do all this in much greater detail later, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and set them before Jehovah at the door of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for Jehovah and the other lot for Azazel, for this fellow you've been reading about, see, in these histories. Excuse me, verse 9. And Aaron shall present the goat upon which the lot fell for Jehovah and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be set alive before Jehovah to make atonement for him, to send him away for Azazel into the wilderness. Where was Azazel bound? In the wilderness. And he sent the scapegoat for Azazel into the wilderness. He to him ascribe all sin. And they dramatically pictured the transfer of sin to Azazel by putting it on the goat, and sending the goat away for Azazel, to blame him for the sin. The sin was borne by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shed blood, but the sins and iniquities were blamed directly on Azazel, and they were patterning this thing out as they went along. Now, by the way, when this goat went in the wilderness, this isn't in here. The rabbis tell a lot about this. When this goat went in the wilderness, they had on the door post of the tabernacle and the temple later, they had on there a piece of scarlet wool. And the rabbis are discussing it. And they said, when we let the goat for Azazel go in the wilderness, didn't the red wool turn white? And the red wool turned white the minute they let the goat go in the wilderness to signal that their sin was taken away. And that's why the Jews teach that every day of atonement, the nation of Israel nationally starts all over again. The total sin of Israel is wiped out on every day of atonement, and they start over again a new slate. And this is why they teach it, because that wool turned white. Their sin as a nation was born and taken away. Now, Edersheim says in his Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah or the Temple, I'm not so sure which, but he said, yes, but the rabbis say that 40 years before the fall of Jerusalem, when they let the goat for Azazel go, the wool didn't turn white ever again. Do you know what happened 40 years before the fall of Jerusalem? Jesus Christ hung on Calvary. And once he did, it never turned white again, for there remaineth no further sacrifice for sin. It was all over. And they don't start all over anymore now. They have the Lord Jesus Christ to bear sin. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dead in trespasses and sin, and there is no quarter offered apart from the shed blood of his Son. It's very clear. They dramatized it all the way. All right, now let's come on back to our text a minute. Verse 15. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with his blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions, even all their sins. And so shall he do for the tent of meeting that dwelleth with them in the midst of their uncleannesses. And there shall be no man in the tent of meeting when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before Jehovah and make atonement for it. Shall take the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleannesses of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of atoning for the holy place, and the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall present the live goat. Now here's the part I told you about in story form. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, even all their sins. See? Three steps, just like I told you. And he shall put them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a man that is in readiness into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a solitary land, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tent of meeting, shall put off the linen garments, which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall bathe his flesh in water in a holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he that letteth go the goat for Azazel shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. Note, all sin was ascribed to Azazel. See? Now that's what they told you. Now here it is all worked out in the Day of Atonement, but it's been hidden from us because they've translated it scapegoat. And we haven't left his name alone as Azazel, and he is right there in Scripture all the time. So what I'm saying is history is not running counter to Scripture. I do say this to you. Watch your history. They sometimes make mistakes. They sometimes put in things that don't belong there. And sometimes it's the translator's fault. Because these translators, while they may be good, they're not infallible. And sometimes they don't know how to bring over the Hebrew word. And you've noticed some of the things have been bracketed. Well, that means that he's in trouble. He's indicated to you that he's not quite sure about what goes in there. And so he's tried to do the best. He's tried to be honest, to give you the picture as best he could. But there is no one who is infallible. And when you're talking about a language which was known and used methodically 3,000 years ago, and then try to say we know all of its intricate details and how it's done today, you're kind of bragging a little bit, because we just don't know that much about a language. And we work it as best we can. So we do have some error that is brought along. Now on page 16. Azazel was bound and put into a place in the desert called Duduel. Following is a footnote by R.H. Charles. Now, he put this in the bottom of his page. Azazel, as the chief offender and leader, is punished by imprisonment now and finally by fire. He is conceived as chained in the wilderness into which the scapegoat was led. The Jerusalem Targum, remember that, that's an Aramaic explanation, and that's what he's leaning on now. On Leviticus says that the goat was sent to die in a hard and rough place in the wilderness of jagged rock. Isn't that what the history said they were to put over him? Okay. Beth Kedur or Beth Keduda. This Beth Keduda was a definite locality near Jerusalem. On Samjasa and Azazel, see the Targums, and he refers to them where both names occur and the myth is given. Now, he's using myth not like fairy tale. We haven't defined myth for you yet, but in the sense that it was general information. Observe that Azazel is punished in the place by himself, and also that in the Noah sections, this place is in the valleys of the earth, but in the genuine Enoch, beyond the earth. See, the two old records do not quite agree with each other. And he's pointing that out, that there are discrepancies, that we don't know all the details exactly. Thus we see that without historic data, many Bible passages cannot be explained. Now we're going to continue here in the book of Enoch. And we got time for just this one passage. And I looked and turned to another part of the earth, and saw there a deep valley with burning fire. And they brought the kings and the mighty and began to cast them into this deep valley. And there mine eyes saw how they made these instruments, iron chains of immeasurable weight. And I asked the angel of peace who went with me, saying, for whom are these chains being prepared? And he said unto me, these are being prepared for the hosts of Azazel, so that they may take them and cast them into the abyss of complete condemnation, and they shall cover their jaws with rough stones, as the Lord of Spirits commanded. And Michael, and Gabriel, Raphael, and Phanuel, these are the heavenly ones, shall take hold of them on that great day, and cast them on that day into the burning furnace, that the Lord of Spirits may take vengeance on them for their unrighteousness in becoming subject to Satan, and leading astray those who dwell on the earth. You see, they put themselves subject to Satan. Somehow, there's a great host of rebellion in the heavenly. And we'll start there, the Lord willing, in the afternoon conference. Thank you.